The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, look at you. You're back home. How are you feeling?
I am. It is
jet-lagged at all?
A little jet-lagged, but England isn't quite Miami, which is a shame. But it's nice to be home in some ways.
Yeah. Got family there, you know. I'm sure they miss you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you back in your familiar spot. We have kind of a lot to talk about. Real quick, by the time you're listening to this, I should have a couple of videos up on the latest devices that were just launched. So the MacBook Air video is already out now. And hopefully, by the time you're listening to this, definitely this day, on Friday, I plan to release the iPad Air video as well. And then I don't really know what to do with the Mac Studio. Like, it'll be cool, I guess, to see the M3 Ultra, I guess. I don't know how many people care about that. But if you're listening to this and you do care about it, let me know in the comments or hit me up and what exactly you want to see, because I'm kind of struggling on the angle to take there. But let's talk about something that just came out recently. We have been kind of well aware on the obviously the delays for Siri, the personal context Siri, as I keep saying the name, my phone keeps triggering, and how it's been delayed by Apple, but yesterday, we got, I think it was yesterday, right? We got an insane article kind of out of the norm from John Gruber, kind of hitting the panic button for Apple, saying that this is not great and that, he's not very optimistic about these features coming in 18.5, obviously, or at all, or just not this year. Like, I don't know. I'm struggling to see this. I can kind of see both angles and why he would be worried, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this, and let's kind of jump into that article. So what were your first thoughts when you saw it?
I thought it was a pretty shocking article, really, because John Gruber is normally very positive about Apple and normally is able to explain some of Apple's thinking quite coherently. So it's quite telling that Apple has done something here that he can't defend and he actually can't rationally explain. And I think that is because the situation is quite bad. Apple unveiled features at WWDC, which we have still never seen demonstrated. No one has seen them outside of Apple. No journalist has had them shown. No YouTuber has seen them and made a video about them. All we know is concept videos that Apple has made. And yet, they sold iPhone 16s and still do on the basis of these features.
Yes and no. I think the fact that the ads were out about it is kind of a little bit. But like I don't have cable or watch a lot of cable, but I do watch sporting events. And so that would be like the prime extent. I've seen a ton of Apple ads for the new iPhone 16 with Apple Intelligence. I've seen it a ton. I have rarely ever seen the ad with the actress from The Last of Us in there. You know, she's kind of doing a lot of those. I've rarely seen those in public, like in the wild. about the personal context in Siri and all of that. So I don't know. I'm not saying it doesn't, you know, obviously Apple made it and was showing it at some point, but were people buying it because of that reason, or were they just buying it as Apple Intelligence as a whole? Because we've kind of had Apple Intelligence shoved down our throats. I'm not sure that the Siri portion was shoved down our throats as much as we people in the tech community kind of make it out to be. I could be wrong.
My answer to that would be, do you think that there would be a valid class action lawsuit here? And I think
No.
Because if Apple has, if Apple advertised features and said, buy this device because it has Apple Intelligence, it can do this, that, and in the small print, yes, it's coming later. But then the iPhone 17 comes out, and that is now the latest iPhone. People can rightly say, well, where was this feature when I bought this iPhone 16 that you told me to buy because of these features?
I mean, off the top of my head, no. Because one, Apple never specifically said, buy this phone because it's got Apple Intelligence with Siri, and it's coming right now, and you're going to get it when you buy this phone. It's always been, it's coming later. And when it does come, it's not going to not make it to the iPhone 16, I'm guessing. I'm like 90% sure. So it's not going to be on that. It's going to be on phones that can run Apple
Intelligence. But then it's a question of, a lot of these things with class action lawsuits come down to whether any of these things could be misinterpreted or whether anything was missold. So I mean, Apple can put as much small print as they like and say, it's coming later at some point and you'll get it eventually. But simultaneously, they have put Apple Intelligence front and center in all of the marketing materials. They said that the single reason to buy an iPhone 16 was for Apple Intelligence. So it's very hard for them to say, oh, well, that wasn't that wasn't at the core of the reason why we suggest you buy this phone. Someone can very easily claim that they bought it because of Apple Intelligence.
But Apple Intelligence isn't just that Siri feature. Even though that is the best, most interesting one that we all want, it's not just specifically
And I would
Siri.
Agree with you if they hadn't been advertising it. So if they, it's one thing if they show it off at WWDC and say it's coming eventually, but to actually have multiple different TV ads that you are selling a product for, that's quite bad.
Yeah, I can't defend that one.
I mean, when has Apple done that? Like, do you think that they never did a TV ad for AirPower, did they?
No, but they should have, and they should have finished it.
But imagine if they had. Imagine if they had been running TV ads for AirPower.
But that's the only thing, and I'm not dismissing it. That is a big deal. You shouldn't do that. But I just think that, like, that's the only thing that's separating that between AirPower. Things happen. Stuff gets derailed. I refuse to believe, and in this article, I don't know if you want to, like, read the last, you know, paragraph. I can do it if you'd like. That Gruber writes, where he says, I'll just quickly breeze by it. He just says, Tim Cook should have already held a meeting like that to address and rectify this Siri and Apple Intelligence debacle. If such a meeting hasn't occurred yet or doesn't happen soon, then I fear that's all she wrote. The ride is over. When mediocrity, excuses, and bullshit take root, they take over. A culture of excellence, accountability, and integrity cannot abide the acceptance of any of those things and will quickly collapse upon itself with the acceptance of all three. I mean, I like you, Gruber, but that is so doom and gloom and so dramatic that, like, he's making it seem like Apple's never going to financially recover from this.
I don't think he's saying that they're not going to financially recover.
Apple will be fine. And they will. I'm exaggerating on the financial part, but he's making it seem like there's no way they can come back and bounce back with this.
He says
with
that they
Siri
can.
Specifically.
He says that they can, but the key here is about reputation, because Apple has spent decades building its reputation as a company that waits it out, and unveils products when they are ready and ships what they show off. That is what they have been known for, and what he is arguing here is that that has now changed, because we have never had a situation like this where something has been so prominent. Even in, like, the marketing materials for the Mac Studio, they've got a whole piece about Apple Intelligence. It's everywhere. And yet the actual sort of the more powerful features here that are not okay, image playground and notification summaries, which most people don't really care about, missing an action. And they're not just missing an action here. They are they are indefinitely delayed, effectively. And while Apple says what did Apple's statement say? Let's actually take a look at that. They said that it's going to take us longer than we thought to deliver these features, and we anticipate rolling them out in the coming year. That's not we will roll them out within 2025. That well, is we anticipate
now they're making within sure they the cover next their year. Track.
So okay. that is effectively, you could say that is into late 2026, and they can still not be here, and they can still stick to the word of that statement. I mean, it could even be longer than that, and they say, well, that was just our anticipation.
Hey guys, just want to take a quick break to talk about today's sponsor, Mando. Hi, I have a personal question. You ever go out for a run or hike or anything athletic and the air is just not smelling so great around you? Perhaps the further south you start to go, it smells even worse. Well, I don't think you need to answer that, because I know that 99% of most of the guys out there listening to this have had this problem once or 100 times in their lives. And so I personally like to make sure it just doesn't even get to that point by using Mando. Mando has been my deodorant and just about overall body odor product line of choice for nearly the last year now. I got the body wash, the lotion, and of course the deodorant stick for my pits, and the deodorant wipes for just about everywhere else. I have been traveling a ton to start the year, and so I have my toiletry kit just stocked full of Mando products. Mando was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It works for 72 hours straight, so no matter what you're doing, whether it's just going outside and enjoying the beautiful weather that's going to start happening here over the next few months, go for a hike or a run or a swim or anything that's going to make you smelly and gross, Mando has you covered. It also comes in some really great scents. I personally like the bourbon leather. Mount Fuji's really nice. There's also Pro Sport and Clover Woods. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, and two free products of your choice, like any of the body wash and deodorant wipes. And you also get free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code. That equates to over 40% off your total starter pack using code MAC, M-A-C, at shopmando.com. That's shopmando.com. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you by using our code MAC, M-A-C. Smell fresher, stay drier, and boost your confidence from head to toe with Mando.
I'd be willing to put, well, I don't know. I'm like 60% sure it would be this year. Later on, maybe a couple of things. It's probably not full-fledged all the features, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you can't, how can you scale back personal awareness? It's either it's going to do it or it's not.
Exactly. Either it has the context or it doesn't.
Yeah.
What they actually, the whole point of what they unveiled is that different apps work across each other. The on-screen awareness is total. Like, what's the point in having half of on-screen awareness? You can't use it if it isn't completely aware of what's on the screen.
So a couple of things. Bouncing back to what you said earlier about that it's not the first time that they've ever come out and showcased something that wasn't ready. Obviously, we just talked about AirPower. Some would argue Vision Pro probably shouldn't have been. Okay, so they brought out Apple Intelligence, and now everyone thinks that this is a failure or a bust or it's rushed because the more exciting feature isn't quite ready yet. But when they said this from the beginning that it wasn't going to be ready yet, I know that they advertised it, and I'm not excusing them. That's pretty bad. They should not have done that. They should not have had TV ads. But this is no different than Samsung. They took the same approach. Samsung released Galaxy AI, hyped up Galaxy AI with the same amount of features, the same type of features, and slowly got better and better each year. They probably already had the latest Galaxy AI features where it kind of had this personal context a little bit, where you can, you know, ask, and where it goes across different apps and stuff like that too, where it can kind of interact with different things, do multi-steps, you know, not quite the same type of feature, but it's still more impressive. I'm sure they had that ready, or I'm sure they had a concept and was working on this a couple of years ago when Galaxy AI came out. The only difference is they didn't showcase it. They didn't say, hey, here's what we're going to be releasing this year. And then also, this is something to get you hyped and excited about. this is coming soon or in the near future. This is what you can expect to see with the improvements with Siri. So that's the only difference in my mind. It's the same rollout. The bad thing is, and I don't know how to justify this, it's just that they made the ad and they hyped it up too much. But when it wasn't quite ready yet.
This is still different to anything that Apple has done before on this scale. Because any feature that has been shown off at WWDC in previous years, Apple has been able to demo. It's still, to this day, over 6 months later, has not demoed these features. So one interesting point that Gruber mentions is that when Apple made this announcement, they could have used that as an opportunity to show off a demo and say, this is it right now, this is what it can do, but it's not ready yet. Because that's a way of spinning this positively. And so if they can't do that, if they still can't even show one little video of it working in the real world, they can't take one YouTuber into a lab and say, use this, but it isn't ready.
I'll be that one YouTuber, by the way, if Apple needs a guinea pig.
Then what does that say? What does that say about it? That it is not ready. No one outside Apple has seen it. And for a feature to effectively not exist, because it's not seen anywhere, so for all intents and purposes it does not exist, is quite bad this way out. And it doesn't look like it's going to make 18.5, so this is going to become an iOS 19 feature in all likelihood after the iPhone 17 has come out. And even then there are questions here.
But
about
why does it matter if it's an iOS 19 feature? This wasn't necessarily tied to iOS 18. Apple Intelligence happened to be, or iOS 18 happened to be the number of the software version that happened to contain the first set of Apple Intelligence features. But they never, unless I'm wrong, I very well could be, did they specifically say that Siri was going to be coming as a part of iOS 18? Or did they say this is going to be coming as part of Apple Intelligence features in the future?
I mean, I don't remember that, and
me neither. Of course, that's why I'm asking.
Of course, they could.
I feel like it's that way.
Apple Intelligence was unveiled separately to iOS 18.
Exactly.
But the fact remains that Apple has never at WWDC done something like this, where they show off features that they can't demo because the features don't exist. They did there is they made concept videos. It's just artists' illustrations of things that have not yet been built.
I'll take your word for it and Gruber's word for it. You guys are much smarter people than I am with better memories. But I still in my brain could be convinced that that's not true. There has to be something they've showed off that's not air power. That didn't get demoed. I don't know. Stage manager is the one thing that comes to my mind because it's just a total mess. What was that launch like? That didn't happen right away. We didn't get that for months later.
That was delayed for a couple of months. But the difference with something like Stage Manager and the whole difference with Apple Intelligence is that they didn't sell iPads on the back of Stage Manager. They didn't say about their flagship.
Maybe some person was like, oh, I want that iPad Pro because it's got Stage Manager.
Apple didn't make ads about Stage Manager and delay it. And also, Stage Manager was delayed by what? 3 months? It was delayed to something like, I don't remember, 16.2 or something.
But it was still bad. It came out because they were probably feeling the same type of pressure from people like us who were like, where's Stage Manager? And they're like, fine, you want Stage Manager?
But Stage Manager is basically just windowing that exists on the Mac. Apple Intelligence is... The whole reason why those demos were so impressive is because
I'm just trying to offer another. Yeah,
they are such powerful features that what Apple has done here, effectively, what it looks like they've done, and what Gruber is suggesting, is that Apple showed off something that was so good and so impressive because they knew people would like it, but they didn't have it. That's never happened.
I agree with you. I said this from the beginning. I agree with you, and I also disagree that this is like that this isn't being overblown just a little bit. It is unfortunate that, and I'm not trying, I don't know, I don't want to defend Apple. I have no reason to. It's lame that this isn't out yet and that they did showcase it. It's the worst part is that they made an ad. If they didn't make that ad, I would say this isn't that big of a deal. This is just like any other time when any other company shows off something cool and says it's going to come later and it gets pushed back. What would really be the problem is if it never comes, which
I think it will.
It will come.
But that's why the bigger picture here that John Gruber is pointing to is that this indicates that something has gone very seriously wrong internally, because it means that there were conversations that were had where managers must have said, but these features don't exist. Are we going to sell this product and we are going to make demos for something that does not exist? And ultimately, Tim Cook said, yes. That's quite bad. And while they may end up shipping the features eventually, and I'm sure that eventually we will have this and it will work well, what it indicates is that something has changed in Apple here. And that's what John Gruber is pointing to, that there has been a culture change. And I actually think that there have been signs of this for a while. I think that while Vision Pro is getting better, the fact that that product launched when it did, in the state that it was in when it first launched, and the fact that it is as uncomfortable as it is, and that it is as expensive as it is, and the fact that you can't really use it productively for many of the workflows that it was set out to be. Spatial computing, where is it in our lives right now? That also is not fantastic. And you can look at other things. I would argue that something like the camera control is very ill-considered. Almost everyone I know that has the camera control has turned it off or has heavily pared back its functionality. Why is there a feature on the iPhone that almost everyone has turned off? How is that on all of the iPhone 16 models, except the iPhone 16e, obviously? That also is quite a new, bad thing. What happened to Apple's car? They poured 10 years worth of resources into that.
I'm not gonna kill him for that. That was... Lots of people, I assumed that if they were going to put that much money into it, they were actually going to do it. But I would be willing to bet that the vast majority of the public either A, didn't actually think a car was coming or didn't even know. So I'm not going to kill them for that one. No one put any.
It's about the fact that there seems to be something internally going on here that isn't great. And I think Apple Intelligence is the biggest sign of that. And to me...
Did Apple actually announce that a car was coming, though? So I'm not going to get on them for that one. No, they never came out and said,
They don't need to for shareholders to know.
The same, though.
Apple effectively soft announced that was going away. And they did that through, they did that through reporters. They effectively will have leaked the information that it was coming to an end themselves, knowing that would have an effect on the market. They couldn't hide the fact that they had self-driving permits and bought, facilities to actually drive vehicles on. This is known. It's known they hired people from Lamborghini and car companies.
I'm just not gonna kill them for trying something that's so vastly out of what it is that they do. This was a computer company. So I'm not going to... It started in a garage from a man making a... I know they're the biggest company in the world. I'm not going to kill them for making something that is not even remotely close to any of the things that they already...
But how is it that other companies who don't have billions of dollars of resources can make a car?
Because that's the only thing they're focusing on. For what most of those companies... I don't know what they're doing over there. That's witchcraft. I just don't know. Like, they bring these, but is anybody actually buying Xiaomi cars? How many Xiaomi cars are out there? I'm sure it's for sale, but like, yeah.
Sony's coming out with its vehicle.
But they partnered with Honda, and they,
Apple was planning to partner with other brands.
But you're killing them. So people are getting mad that they are rushing things now when they don't used to rush things. They used to take their time, make sure it's... So they did that with that and then ultimately decided, you know what, it's just not going to be the way we want it, so we're just going to scrap it, and you're getting mad. But now when we're
I'm not mad that they scrapped it. What I'm interested in is the fact that it was a failure. They scrapped it it was a failure. And there is a growing list here of problems and failures.
I just think that there's more failures than you possibly can imagine within that company that we just don't know about.
Yeah, but
and
then,
that one,
they're
because
not significant
it was such a larger
enough.
Scale.
So
maybe.
But it's undeniably a massive problem that Apple Intelligence has not shipped in the way that they intended. That is a failure.
Yes. I mean, I'm not going to say that it's not. It's not. It's definitely a failure when you're way behind on things. I just want to go back to this whole notion that, and I'm asking you and everybody else, do you genuinely believe vaporware is when, you know, companies basically like what Apple is kind of doing right now, where they showcase something, but it's not out. Do you genuinely believe that a company as big as Apple would announce something like this with concept videos saying that it's going to be coming soon? You buy this phone, it should be within the life cycle of this phone. Then I would be pretty pissed off. And that's when a class action lawsuit would actually be justifiable. Do you actually believe that they didn't look into the company, into their devs and their all of their developers and ask, do we have the framework and the ability to do this? Do you have something, a prototype, some sort of code that showcases this? I would be shocked if they were just like, hey, we designed this, marketing team designed this, we have these ideas, and we never ran it through our developers. We don't actually know if they can build this, but you should totally run with this and announce it at your largest developer conference that you do.
Well,
I highly doubt that they're that was the furthest stage that they got it.
I don't know if it would have been worded quite like that, but that does seem to be effectively what's happened.
And I'm telling you that I'm pretty sure it's not the way that that's rolling right now. That is not happening. But I don't know that for sure, and neither does Gruber. No one knows that for sure except for the people that work there.
No, but John Gruber knows Apple very well. He understands the way that they work very intimately, and he talks to a lot of very senior employees behind the scenes. So his sense of what is going on at that company is better than most people.
Sure.
And for him to say that this has happened and for him to condemn that is pretty much unprecedented. And I think that my question would be, well, if these features were prototyped, why weren't they demoed?
To who? Like to the public or just to people? Yeah,
Why were they not shown off to the press? Because they weren't ready enough. So even if their developers said, yes, we can build this, even if their product managers said, yes, we can get this out by the end of the year, the fact is that somewhere, someone has said that it is okay to sell a feature that is not ready, which Apple should not do. Apple is not a company that does that. Apple is a company that ships what they says they are going to ship. And what the point that Gruber ultimately makes here is that this indicates a significant cultural shift here. And it's a great shame because Apple's reputation has been damaged here, because it means that if next year at WWDC they show off something, we have no idea when we're going to actually get that. And it looks like Apple is really behind now in the AI race. You know, there were interviews with executives last year when they were asked questions about, do you not feel that Apple's a little bit behind? And they laugh. They laugh.
Yeah.
And that's just embarrassing now, because the fact is, Siri is terrible. Siri can't even tell you who won the Super Bowl. It gives you the wrong answer. It doesn't just say, I don't know.
Who won the Super Bowl this year? It just gives me the score.
Where this was tested,
it works.
Where this was tested was with older games, and it just tells you the actual wrong answer. It doesn't say, I don't know. It actually tells you the team that lost.
Hold on. I want to try this. Who won the Super Bowl in 2023?
The Chiefs outdid the Eagles in Super Bowl 57 by a score of 38-35.
That's right.
February 12th, 2023.
I mean, that's pretty recent. John Gruber also wrote about this relatively recently, because it was pointed out that Apple advertises this functionality for Siri to be able to give sports scores, but in repeated tests, it actively gives the wrong answer. We've all been in the situation, right, where we're in a car or we ask Siri for something and it just does not understand the most basic request. Compare that to how ChatGPT is. Compare Image Playground to DALL-E. Compare some of these tools we've talked about, like Shortwave.
Is that a good direct comparison, though? Were they ever trying to make it as intense as that?
It doesn't need to be intense, but are you ever going to use Image Playground?
Uh, I used it the other day.
What for?
I'm not going to say, because it'll further justify your point.
Well, there we go.
It was to showcase something in the invites app.
You know, when we think about AI services offered by other companies, and they are incredibly impressive, incredibly useful features, and then we look at, okay, we've got writing tools.
Hey, those are useful. I use those quite a bit.
Yeah, they're useful, but it's just not in the same league. It's almost a bit embarrassing.
I mean, it's not in the same league compared to Galaxy AI. I would say that's marginally better feature set than what we have now. Otherwise, yes, it's pretty much
Apple
the same.
Apple was laughing.
That's the competitor. Sure.
Apple was laughing about how far ahead they were and how it's not going to be a problem. I mean, this is not a good reflection.
How far? Well, they're living in different realities. They don't understand that we don't know what it is that they're working on. So I think they're not worried internally from, or I mean, obviously they also can't just be like, yeah, no,
they're worried now. I think for them to release this statement and now for them to have alienated someone like John Gruber, who has a very high opinion of them, it's incredibly damning. And I bet that executives at Apple today were reading this article and just incredibly upset and exasperated with the situation.
Listen, I'm just trying to showcase. I don't, because I said this from the beginning, I don't really know how I feel. I do have some strong opinions in the sense that I think Apple's going to be fine, and I think these features are going to come out, and it's not, class action lawsuit justifiable, in my opinion. Not yet. I also think that they were incredibly wrong to make these whole, ads. But how do we know that they weren't fully ready to go, and they were about to do these demos to people, and they have the ad out there, and they were fully ready to go, and then something catastrophic broke, and they didn't plan for that, or something happened to where they had to pull it back.
But then they've had 7 months. I mean, even say when the iPhone 16 was unveiled, Craig Federighi talked about the personalization features. He talked about the fact that that is what the iPhone 16 will do.
This could be a dumb question. Do you think that they pulled off their resources too early then to focus? Because we know that they do that. They build something out, and then when they're done and they got to move on to something else, they pull from other teams and they move them over to that team. So now we've heard about the iOS 19 stuff and the redesigns and how this is going to be a major redesign across the whole thing. Do you think they pulled their resources too early?
I honestly couldn't say. It's a very unusual situation for features to be pushed out this far and for those features to be so central to what Apple says it is now trying to do. And it says it with such confidence, and yet we have seen nothing of it. If they had shown off demos and said they're just not ready yet, they're just not at the standard that we are happy with, but they are coming and you can see them, and we're aware that we've messed this up a little bit in terms of timing, but here are the features. Here's why you should be excited for it. But it's just radio silence. Yeah. All they can do is offer a very wishy-washy statement that they expect them to come at some point in the next year. And that is just an anticipation. It's not a firm commitment. Meanwhile, they are still selling the iPhone 16 on the back of these features. And to me, I think there is a bigger picture thing here, which is, I think there are lots of decisions that have been made in recent years that are very questionable, and I think this is the biggest one. I think that while Vision Pro is undoubtedly fantastic technology, and there are some experiences on that that are great, like with spatial video or spatial photos, and the gestures, all of these things are excellent. How a product that is so uncomfortable, when that is the whole point of it is designed to be worn on your face, how that got out the door, and how it got out the door with such limited software features and things that ended up coming a year later, like the spatial gallery that is coming, or even the enhanced Mac external display mode. This was all absent. That product was not ready. I think that very few people would be able to argue that that product was ready to go out the door when it did. So why was it released when it was? It just simply didn't need to be. That was not a good decision. I would be very interested to know if in Apple's analytics, if they have analytics about how many people have disabled the camera control or disabled at least some of its functionality, because I would easily bet that 50% of iPhone users who have an iPhone 16 at least have disabled some elements of the camera control. Have you disabled some elements of it?
No.
None of it? You've not disabled any feature on it?
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
You are the first person, then, that I know with an and iPhone 16 that has not done that.
And I use the button. I don't use the camera control feature. I use the button to launch it.
Does the camera control annoy you when it changes what you're trying to do as you're framing your shot?
No, I think I've gotten good at moving my finger around and not making it an issue.
Maybe you're one of the few people that's had an above average experience with the camera control.
I didn't say it was above average. I just want to be clear.
Well, I'm saying if the average is bad, it's not an issue. Yours is slightly less bad than most people. But what has struck me is people who are not tech enthusiasts who I speak to, people who just got an iPhone 16 because they were due an upgrade on their 24-month plan, say to me, oh, no, I turned it off. I hate it. And it's just, I hear it over and over.
And you think if you polled those people and you told them, hey, are you happy with Apple Intelligence or do you think you should return your phone?
I don't think these people, but they're not going to return their phone. They know they're due a new smartphone.
And they don't care about, I feel like, and I cannot wait for all the comments here. I feel like this is going to be an overwhelmingly positive episode for you, Hartley, because I'm playing the other side here.
No, I
feel like people, go ahead.
I really respect the arguments that you're making, and there is some validity to them. To me, it's not about anything actually being materially bad. It's not that Apple is going to crash and burn. It's not that the company is finished or that people are going to return their products. What this is about is that the company culture that was built under Steve Jobs of you show what you ship and you look after the reputation of all of this stuff, and that products like the iPhone are sacred. You don't just throw gimmicks onto them because you try and do stuff with it that is meaningful. Mm-hmm. You don't show off a Vision Pro if it's not ready. You don't ship it if it's not ready. You don't show demos of software for Apple Intelligence if it's not ready. That company is gone.
We are now
dealing with something different.
It's been gone. We just refuse to accept that. He's been dead for how many years now?
But it's not about him personally.
I know, but you just mentioned him. It's respectfully not the same company that Steve Jobs had.
But then this is an indication that if those were the qualities that made Apple special, what makes Apple special now?
Honestly, the fact that there's nothing that makes them special, but that's not bad. That's not a bad, I don't know. I guess we have to determine the definition of special here, because what's pretty special is that people can use these products for every aspect of their lives, and they work so much better, in my opinion and in some others, than the competition. And you can get a Mac now, a MacBook Air, for $799, $899 that can do so much more than what we could ever have dreamed of a MacBook Air doing when it was first launched. Like, that's what makes them special. It's the iterations of the hardware and the engineering. And yes, it is also a software company. And I do think that the software is, for the most part, I know people complain about iOS. Let's just pull iOS out of here for a second. Like, for the most part, I think everyone's pretty happy with the state of every piece of software for each device out there to do 90% of what they need to do. It's these extra little things, because people are bored because it's been the same for so long, that, you know, we're struggling to figure out what we need and what we're going to use and what makes that special, I guess. Sure, maybe they're not special in that sense anymore. They're not as innovative as they once were, but then we say that, and then, like, think about how many features that exist right now, or how many pieces of hardware that Apple has engineered that no other company can do.
I think that the hardware side of Apple has never been stronger. I think the Vision Pro's hardware, other than the fact that it's really heavy, is outstanding. The iPhone, the iPad, and especially the Mac, they are all excellent. I'd also argue that the AirPods and AirPods Pro are also excellent. However, let me give you a vision of the future, and you tell me if you find this believable or not. let's fast forward just a few years to around 2028. Some products like the AirPods Max are still on shelves at the same price with no updates to them whatsoever. Because right now, there's no rumored update for the AirPods Max. There is no plan to give them anything. They are behind the AirPods Pro. By then, they will be behind the AirPods Pro 3. Simultaneously, Apple Intelligence still does not fully do what they unveiled. So it has some on-screen awareness. So maybe if you've got music on the screen, you can tell it to play that piece of music. Or you can, if you've got messages on the screen, you can tell it to start dictation. Or you can tell it to generate an emoji and it will do that. But it does not have such a significant system-wide reach as was initially unveiled. That still has not shipped. Simultaneously, there is not a new Vision Pro. There is a second-gen model that has M5, and that is it. It is the same in every other way to the previous model. That is also currently rumored. There is no low-cost Vision Pro. There is no redesigned Vision Pro that's more comfortable. The iPad is effectively the same as where it currently is. We maybe by then get OLED on the iPad Air, but there's very little else going on in the way of that. We get a MacBook Pro redesign that's a little bit thinner. Apple has just unveiled maybe its first chatbot, which is not even remotely as powerful as anything that OpenAI has to offer. And instead, what it has done with Apple Intelligence is just allowed like Gemini to plug in instead. But there is very little in the way of its own features, because it just simply has been unable to engineer them and deliver on its promises. And then I would ask you to also consider that companies like OpenAI are bringing out hardware products that are designed by Jony Ive and backed by enormous amounts of money and are planning to deliver experiences that are very different to what is currently available. We're not talking about like the Rabbit R1 here. We are potentially talking about devices that complement or replace your smartphone. We don't quite know what they will be, but imagine if OpenAI come out with a smartphone alternative. What about Meta's Orion glasses? What if those are on the way by then? What if Meta continues to iterate on its glasses and those begin to get up to the sales numbers that AirPods in? They already are selling tens of millions of them. They're incredibly popular. And with Orion's software and hardware coming together in that way, it is so impressive. Meanwhile, we just have the same Vision Pro that we've got now, but with M5. What do you make of this perspective? Because I can see that happening.
I could see nothing in the next 3 years replacing the smartphone or even being remotely considered an option to replace the smartphone. Not here in the US. I don't know about anywhere else. But here in the US, it'll be dominated by iPhones like it probably currently is, and or just dominated by smartphones. I just don't see that happening, first off. The iPad, let's not bring that up. The iPad's fine. It is what it is, okay? Like, that is reaching for something there. There's not much you could do. It's a tablet. It's a screen on a piece of glass. Like, it just is what it is. What if I paint the picture for you that in 3 years, we have this brand new HomePad device that's sweeping the nation. Video secure recording and HomeKit or whatever finally works well. That's what Apple needs to focus on, by the way. Can we fix HomeKit, please? Can my cameras not be not available, for the love of God?
But I think that says everything, though. The fact that software has been this badly neglected. And I think my point is, other companies are seriously showing very impressive levels of innovation, whether that's with Meta's glasses products, whether that's Orion or what's on sale right now, and whether that's OpenAI and ChatGPT. Where is Apple's innovation right now? It's definitely got innovation in the way of Apple Silicon, which was massive. Yes. You brought that up a few weeks ago and was a very good point. But that was now 5 years ago. So other companies are now moving on. Other companies are demonstrating technologies that are way beyond what Apple can currently deliver. So why isn't it delivering them?
I don't know if the people want those things. I mean, I just don't know that they want that. I don't want a alternative to a smartphone right now. I'm not ready for that. Maybe a corresponding device that I'd take with me for specific scenarios, like AR, VR glasses. I'm not, that's fine. I'm not ready to replace a smartphone. I'm willing to bet that a lot of people are not ready yet. They have to have the insight and research for that. They have to. They have to know this. So they're just going to keep doing what they're doing because, you know, they're still dominating the market.
But that, but Apple, when they had the iPod, they dominated with the iPod, but they chose to kill it because they debuted the innovation that killed it.
Yeah.
What are they doing to kill the iPhone?
Nothing. That's what I'm trying to say is, like, I don't know that that's easy to do. So we're not there yet.
We're not there yet. And I'm not saying that within the next 3 years the smartphone will be replaced. What I'm saying is that in terms of AI technology, Apple is going to be nowhere near in 3 years. In terms of hardware iteration, how much more can they really do? I agree, you know, the Mac is in a great place. The iPad hardware is in a great place. The iPhone hardware is in a great place. So what's happening is they are going to become a company that just sells what they currently sell, which is boring. It's not innovative. And the innovation, the actual new exciting stuff, is happening elsewhere.
Okay. Just one more, just one more devil's advocate kind of role here.
Go on.
Which I think I kind of firmly believe in because I think it's happening to me too. I think people are very scared of the AI companies that are progressing really, really fast. I think it's horrifying. How many times do you hear Black Mirror comparisons? I think OpenAI is very much on that front door there. And there's a reason why Apple doesn't call Apple Intelligence AI. There's a reason why for so many years they never said AI. They always said machine learning or other, you know, buzzwords to make it, you know, we knew what it was. I think AI scares a lot of people, a lot of old people. I hear it constantly from them saying, like, that AI, you better watch out. I don't like that. That, you know, I hear it a lot. And I think I'm also of that. I'm getting annoyed by it. I think Apple is taking the AI features that they know the vast majority of people probably will use or find cool or intriguing without making it too, like, Black Mirror. Like, I hate to use that, but, like, you know, I don't know that we need these things that some of these companies are showcasing. So, or at least not right now, or maybe ever. I have no idea. But I think people are genuinely a little bit on edge and also just annoyed with the AI term being thrown around for every single thing to the point where I feel like Apple knows this a little bit. And that's why they didn't, you know, maybe that's not the full main reason why they called it Apple. You know, obviously for marketing, they love naming things, but they could have just. They could also just shorten it and say, these are our AI features. They don't do that.
But they do say that.
When?
They consistently describe Apple Intelligence as AI. And even at, like, investor meetings and in press releases, they shoehorn in the word AI everywhere because they know that they need to be seen to be doing it, even though they're not really doing it very well.
I'm not saying that they are doing it well, but I'm not saying that from a smartphone perspective, I don't think they're as far back as people think they are, if at all.
But look, let's just take one example. This is the last example I'll give you.
I just want to say, I know your whole thing is about where are they innovating right now, and I can't argue with you right now. In AI space, they're not really doing anything that's innovative aside from the Siri stuff that we're all waiting
for. Whether it scares you or not, AI is going to be where this stuff goes. It is the future. And it is worrying that Apple does not have a foothold here. And the example I was going to give you, which is the last example I will point to, is visual intelligence. So when visual intelligence was shown off to us, it was shown off as an iPhone 16 exclusive feature,
yep,
only accessible through the camera control. And it's so impressive because what it does is you can show the camera anything and it will provide you with information about that. And bear in mind, this only runs on the iPhone 16 because it's so powerful. What it actually is a wrapper for ChatGPT. So what visual intelligence does.
Or Google reverse image search.
Yeah. So it takes the picture and drags and drops it into Google Lens or into ChatGPT. That's it.
Well,
that's visual intelligence.
Does it though for like its own things when it brings up the cards like for maps and stuff? You know how that's kind of designed that way? Like if you point it at a restaurant, that's not Google or ChatGPT stuff. That is theirs technically.
Well, no, what they are doing there is they are, say I look at a like an invitation that's on paper or a poster.
Yeah.
They are using the same text recognition tools that they unveiled 2 years ago. I could have taken a picture in the Photos app and just tapped it.
Sure.
So what have they built here? What did they build?
What about reserving the reservations from that screen and all of that? Like where? I don't know how. I mean, that's a genuine question. It could be stupid. I don't know how all of that works. I don't know what part of that needs to use the neural engine for processing. You know,
I have not seen that in the real world. As far as I'm concerned,
I have had it pop up, but I never used it because the restaurant
couldn't do it. If I use visual intelligence right now, all I get is two options. And those options are simply to send it to Google Lens or ChatGPT. And that's it.
Have you actually tried pointing it at a real business that like exists?
Yeah, but then all it's doing is it's getting what that business is from Google Lens and then is just using the Maps app. So it's not. That's not AI. That's just not. But and it's even more than that. It's not an iPhone 16 exclusive. I mean, now they've brought it down to the iPhone 15 Pro. But I could install ChatGPT on like an iPhone 7.
Now
take a picture in the ChatGPT app and do basically the same thing.
Okay. This is a genuine question because I don't know, but I do know for a fact that this visual intelligence feature was not shown off during... It was obviously shown when the iPhone came out. So it wasn't showcased as part of Apple Intelligence. Do they ever specifically say this is an Apple Intelligence feature? Or this is a camera control feature? This is an iPhone 16 feature specifically? And it can only run by, at the time, using the camera control button. And it just happens to have the name intelligence in there, which does imply...
It's an AI feature because it uses the plugin with ChatGPT.
So that's what they're saying because of that? Because I've never seen it when they first talked about it. They never specifically said this is an Apple Intelligence feature.
If you ask Siri a question that it can't answer, which is basically everything, it will pop down with a little bubble saying, asking ChatGPT. If you do in visual intelligence and you ask it a question about a picture, pops down with the same thing because it's the same integration. So when they unveil ChatGPT integration and they unveil visual intelligence, they were just unveiling the same feature.
Well, and here's the thing, and I don't know if Apple realized that they did this or if they genuinely were saying these are Apple Intelligence features, but technically the ChatGPT integration is just that. It is a ChatGPT.
Exactly. It's not even...
But and I don't know that they meant to purposefully market that as a Apple Intelligence. It just happened to fit in that exact like time frame of the presentation because they're already talking about Siri. They're like, by the way, you can integrate with ChatGPT. But that's not an Apple Intelligence feature. They know that.
But what they mean by that, if you were to have Apple PR here, they would say, well, Apple Intelligence is the ability for an AI platform, which is AI, to plug in to our AI system and therefore will in the long term receive personal context. So it is part of our new AI system. But the reason it's just embarrassing that even Siri cannot access ChatGPT on older devices is because there is no technical reason why it can't. It's just the same as the ChatGPT app. In fact, it's worse than the ChatGPT app. So if I have an iPhone 15 that you could have bought a year ago, that cannot use ChatGPT via Siri. But you can install the ChatGPT app. There is no reason for that at all.
I'm just saying... I agree with you. Again, I'm just saying that they never specifically advertised the ChatGPT integration on commercials as part of an Apple Intelligence feature. So I think they didn't advertise it, but they also didn't do a good job of like separating it.
I think they made pretty clear that the ChatGPT integration was part of Apple Intelligence.
I don't think so, because you don't see that. That's not in any of the ads. They don't talk about that. They just do that in the – it just happens to be in the same section of Apple, which, again, is their fault for doing that. But they don't actually
– Let me look at the introducing Apple Intelligence press release from June.
Well, I'm sure that's in there, but it's not –
I am very interested to see how prominent this is here and if it's here at all, because maybe you're right.
I'm sure it's in there. I don't know. I'm going to look at it with you because now I'm nervous. This is like when your parents say they're going to look at your room.
Yes,
after you
it's a whole heading. It's a whole heading.
Which one is it?
It's quite low down, but the heading is ChatGPT gets integrated across Apple platforms.
Okay, but that's not saying ChatGPT gets integrated into Apple intelligence across Apple platforms. It's just saying that you can integrate it. And because it's an AI app, this makes sense to talk about it in the AI portion of the press release. I get that. And that's probably their fault for doing that. But I will not kill them for...
But it's part of the Apple intelligence requirements, Dan. You can only run ChatGPT via Apple intelligence on devices that support Apple intelligence.
That is a better argument. That is a better argument. But it's not their stuff. So, like, I don't understand why we're still, like, holding that as part of, like, the whole, you know, oh, man, they're just running ChatGPT. Yeah, they announced that they were integrating that. And maybe they need, in order for that to work with what Apple's got going on, maybe you do really need...
But then why can't it work as it does today on an iPhone 15?
What? Because you can visual do visual intelligence or just ChatGPT? Well,
both. Because visual intelligence, it just feeds the image to ChatGPT. So I can download the ChatGPT app on any old device. And actually, I will get better responses because the actual visual intelligence UI is not very good.
I'm sure it could do that, but this is a thing that Apple's been doing for many years where these features could work on other devices.
Exactly, but that's why it's part of Apple intelligence.
I get your point there, but I still don't think that it is actually a part of Apple intelligence, and neither does Apple, but they're going to use it that way because that just fits
so what
in
we've the conclusion we've reached here is that Apple intelligence doesn't really exist. And I'll give you one more really quick example of that, which is the fact that the Apple Watch doesn't support Apple intelligence, does it?
Well, how does Apple intelligence not really exist? Are you just like not including Image Playground, Genmoji, Writing Tools, the contact or the summaries of
what
the
I'm saying is that
cleanup,
Apple has built some AI features which work well. Apple intelligence, as this umbrella term of what was shown off, does not exist. And it doesn't exist for two reasons. One, because half the features have never been seen by anyone's human eyes outside Apple. And the second reason is because the features aren't actually theirs. They're ChatGPT's.
No. See, you're just, okay, you're lumping that all into one thing. And it is an overarching, like, marketing term for these feature subsets. So you're right. None of them exist. That's just what Apple calls all of their AI features.
So my point is that...
But those AI features do exist, and what they announced with Apple Intelligence, almost all of that has come out, except for the Siri stuff. Everything else...
But that's the main thing that they unveiled. I mean, the bulk of the features that were shown off... I mean, Writing Tools are just one tiny thing. Image Playground is one tiny thing. The bulk of what they showed off does not exist. And there is... One thing that John Gruber points to here is he points to continuity. And continuity, even though features exist across Apple's platforms that are completely separate, it's all under the continuity umbrella. But that makes sense because it's really clear where continuity starts and finishes. We understand what that is. But Apple Intelligence, because it has all of this integration with ChatGPT and it's just a wrapper for ChatGPT, and simultaneously, the example I was going to point to before was that the Apple Watch does not support Apple Intelligence, does it? Because it doesn't have the system requirements. But it does have Apple Intelligence's notification summaries, which are said to be an Apple Intelligence feature. But the Apple Watch can't run Apple Intelligence. So which is it? So where does Apple Intelligence start and finish?
Is it running it, or is it just mirroring your iPhone?
No, it's running it because it's cellular. So you can go and get those notification summaries when you're out and about, not connected to your iPhone.
I've never actually tried that because I don't have cellular turned on, so I can't speak to that. Have you tried that? Or what if it's just, are we just assuming?
I mean, I haven't personally tried it, but people who have a cellular watch have told me that that's the case.
Okay.
So my point here is that whatever they're calling it is so messy.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It's totally inconsistent. Not make sense. And
maybe we should just be mad. Maybe we should just be mad at the marketing team as opposed to, you know, Apple themselves.
I don't blame the developers that are working incredibly hard on this. I have a huge amount of respect for them, and the features that are there work very well. Genmoji works fantastically. Image Playground does what it is supposed to do.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Yes. Okay. Yes. Image yes, wand. Image Playground does do what it's supposed to do in the sense that you feed it some words and it feeds you an image, but the images are almost always shit. So I'm just saying right now, like, it never actually gives me what I want. It gives me a couple of things of what I want, but...
Okay. Well, notification summaries kind of work, except for when they don't. So I think the conclusion we're reaching here is that Apple maybe was a little bit overambitious here.
I mean, and, okay. and again, we've just been doing this whole roundabout thing for an hour. And again, I don't disagree with you. I'm just trying to offer different perspectives, because otherwise, if we both agree, then what the hell is this podcast for? I know I'm going to get roasted. I am taking one for the team here.
No, people will probably say I'm too negative.
Feel like a lot of people are very negative about this online right now. That is the key, like, hot thing to do. So I feel like, and I don't know, maybe I could be wrong, but I feel like most people are going to be agreeing with you that, and I also agree with you to an extent on some of these things, but I just don't know that I'm ready to be sound the alarm. This is doom and gloom. That the last few years hasn't been great when it comes to some of these ambitious goals that Apple has tried, and maybe they should just go back to being, you know, secretive and not announcing it. But I'm okay with a company showcasing what might potentially be on the horizon, because that's exciting and it gives me something to look forward to. What I'm not okay with are the ads that are online and in the public saying that these are coming soon, when in reality, soon is very vague and not necessarily something that you could do when it comes to selling phones. I'm not okay with that aspect, but I am okay with them showcasing these things. I think that's what the whole point of WWDC is. Showcasing the future of the software, getting developers ready to start thinking about how their apps can take advantage of these things, because you can't do it overnight and they need time. And there's only a couple of months between when Apple usually announces these things and then ships them in September. So, you know, developers have to work really, really fast, and not every developer has a whole team or a company behind them. It's just sometimes solo developers. So I'm totally fine with them showcasing things and giving developers a longer period of time to do this. But I agree with you. Maybe if you're really that far off, you should probably hold it for another year. I think they kind of fell into the public pressure for some dumb reason on AI and how everyone's so behind, when in reality, for me, I don't care. Let's slow it down a little bit. I don't need this to just keep, you know, be that fast and moving with all these horrifying AI features that I see on a daily basis. Some of it's useful, but yeah, I just think that where they went wrong was the full-blown marketing plan of attack with these Siri features that they probably should not have done. So, all right, we have gone very, very long. I don't even think there's an ad for this show, like a baked-in host. So good luck. I mean, there'll be some ads, but you won't hear from me, I don't think. I could be wrong. I haven't checked. But, yeah, would love to hear your comments. I'm sure people are already typing them if you haven't already. Please take it easy on us. I am not Apple. I am just offering a viewpoint.
No, we don't know anything.
Yeah. We shouldn't say that, because the whole point of the website is to kind of know potentially what's happening.
No, I take no responsibility for my opinions.
Me neither. Absolutely not. My opinions are just garbage, so just don't even listen to me. But for the sake of this podcast, I'm offering a different perspective. Next week, we might have a very special guest. I got to lock that down, but I think we might potentially riff on this a little bit more, but also get into some of the other things, like iOS 19 getting a whole redesign. Some would say that's a very ill-advised time to do that, given the whole state of everything else we just talked about. But I would love to get into that. So, you know, make sure you subscribe and all of that, and we'll catch everybody in the next episode.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong. The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.